have an army. We have a Hulk.
Hello and welcome to episode 82 of We Have a Hulk podcast. I am your host, Nicola.
And I'm your other host, Chris.
So, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm well, thanks, Nicola. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. We're getting a little bit hungry, so
yeah. We're recording this towards the end, actually.
Yes, surprisingly, we've been trying to get into a routine of doing it at the weekend,
but yeah, didn't quite go to plan this weekend.
So what are we going to be talking about in this episode then, Chris?
Right, we got Home of the Hulks.
Yep.
We got Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom review.
Woo.
We have an interview with David Mazouz, who plays young Batman.
Yes, Bruce Wayne.
Yes, Gotham. We have interviewed him before.
Yes, so he's come back on the show.
So he's a friend of the show, yeah. Essentially. Then we got Hulk Topics. So we're just asking kind of film franchise reboot continuation thing.
Fancast.
Yeah. What? And then that's it, isn't it?
That's pretty much the podcast. Yeah. All right. So it's Home with the Hulks. What have been watching, reading, etc. this week? Thanks.
So we watched the movie.
We watched it opening night.
Yeah, Jurassic World. And then we watched Jurassic Park.
Yes.
The original as well. So that kind of comes into our review a little bit. I think.
Very dinosaur heavy week.
Yes, and we watched all of our normal TV, didn't we really? Watched Handmaid's Tale, Humans, Legion, and Westworld.
Oh, Westworld.
Westworld. That was a good episode, wasn't it?
Very. I think it's my favourite episode so far, possibly.
I'm not so sure, personally. Okay. I think one of the previous couple might have been my favourite. I can't remember which one was which at this point. Right. I think the last one was really good.
They've all kind of melded into each other, series.
Yeah. It's really far in now, isn't it? It's nearly finished.
We just had episode 8. I can't believe it. Like, it felt like a week ago when it first started. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's quite sad, actually, isn't it?
And I'm really enjoying it. Legion this week, I mean, in like 20 minutes, is going to be the finale. Oh, no!
Damn. What happened to Legion? I can't remember. Probably shouldn't say it.
Probably shouldn't spoil it because we're watching it as the US watching, not the UK.
Right.
But it's just leading up to the finale. That's what I'm going to say.
It's getting pretty intentional as well, isn't it?
Intentional.
Ooh. Humans, I'm enjoying. That's good.
Yes, it's still really good, actually.
Yeah.
Getting big. And Handmaid's Tale.
Man,
the end of episode 3 just broke me.
So annoying.
That aunt just needs a good kick, right?
I'm looking forward to her comeuppance.
Yes, hopefully.
I mean, if it doesn't happen, I'm going to throw something.
I feel like The Handmaid's Tale is very much like Game of Thrones in the respect that Game of Thrones rules is that this doesn't have a happy ending sort of thing.
Is that how it's really going to be?
I hope not.
This is the first indication I've had that this is just thought I've had that, okay, maybe this isn't going to end the way I want it to. I'm not enjoying that idea.
But my friend from work, she's going to give me the book so I can give that a read. Okay. So that would be
quite interesting. I struggle to read a book after I've watched a thing.
Yeah.
It's already defined. And it's hard to, I don't know. What else did we watch? Anything?
Well, I have finished Krypton Series 1.
Okay, how was that?
It was pretty good, actually. I mean, for a sci-fi show. I used to watch Warehouse 13 right on sci-fi.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know what you're going to get with sci-fi, either. Right?
Yeah. I quite enjoyed that, but it wasn't great.
For a sci-fi show, it was actually pretty good. Lots of good action. I mean, great characters. You had Brainiac. I mean, actually getting Brainiac on screen to look, actually okay. It's pretty well done because it's a bit of a strange character, right?
Oh, is that the green guy?
Yeah. You probably looked at that and thought, what are you watching?
I saw that on your phone and I was like, what are you watching?
And then you had Doomsday as well. And then you had Zod and you found out a bit more of the origins of Zod and his relationship with Superman. It was great. If you're a big fan of Superman, like the mythos and stuff, it was pretty good.
I watched the first couple of episodes, didn't
you
I?
You did, yes.
Yeah, I just didn't buy the whole, it's sort of this kind of weird feudal society.
Yeah,
but
it
then,
was very...
Yet they're really kind of technologically advanced.
Yeah, it was a bit Hunger Games-esque, wasn't it? They were like factions. Yeah. But if you weren't, so there were houses and there were like royal houses like Game of Thrones. But if you weren't like royalty or a house, you were then like factionless. And it was very interesting, but
kind of this weird dystopian future where I just wonder how the hell did you ever get anything done in this situation. So it's hard for me to believe, really.
Okay.
But yeah, I didn't watch any more than that. So it wasn't for me. I think. Fair play. That's fair play. Enough. What else?
I started the first two episodes of Cloak and Dagger, so the new Marvel TV show, and I think it's safe to say I might be officially too old for this program.
It definitely had that teen drama vibe.
Like with Runaways, I loved the comic. I wasn't quite sure about the TV show. I did enjoy it when it kicked into gear and when it found its funny moments and touching moments. But it was very much like that. I mean, teen drama, very emo-y. It was quite depressing. Emotions and stuff. I was a bit like, oh, this is a bit too deep for me.
I just zoned out pretty much straight away. Yeah. I was not enjoying that, I'm afraid. Not for me.
Mm. I mean, it looks really great, and the way they've shot it and stuff is really good. And the characters... This is the thing. The first two episodes we've had, I don't particularly like these two characters.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if you're supposed to like them, but... I mean, if I don't connect with a character, then I don't want to continue watching it, right? Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'll give it a couple more episodes, I think, because it's on Amazon Prime in Europe. But yeah, I mean, if it's not good in the next two or three episodes, I'm going to bet it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it's like Marvel, so I'm like, I feel like I really should watch this because Legion is so good. And I'm on to series two of Lucifer now.
Yes. Yeah. We watched that a while back, didn't we? Yes. A bit of it. And we stopped.
Mm.
And then you've restarted it recently.
I have recently. And I'm actually really enjoying it. It's pretty good. I like how, I think... the first series, it didn't quite know what it was trying to be. And then the second series, it really embraced itself. And there was this overarching plot, which was really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I was missing. I guess I only watched the first series, but it was very procedural, wasn't it?
Yes. It had a case of the week sort of thing.
I kind of don't really watch procedural anymore.
No. Because you were into Castle, weren't you, quite a lot?
Yeah, I watched Castle and Bones and House and stuff like that. But
I think you get a bit... fatigue with those kind of things, right?
There's only so many times that you can tell those stories as well. They kind of tend to reuse them a lot in different shows and things. So yeah, then I like Star Trek and stuff. And that's the same thing,
right?
Yeah, it's very similar. I guess I just like the subject matter more. I don't know.
Maybe you're a bit too, yeah.
I think I'm too far gone.
But yeah, Lucifer series three. I just like the whole mythos behind it as well, because you've got Lucifer and you've got the guardian angel and you've got God, and it's quite interesting.
Okay.
And then in this series, they've got Tom Welling is in it. So, you know, the guy who played Superman in Smallville. It's quite interesting. He plays a yeah.
That worries me. That just makes me think, yeah.
He's pretty good in it. He's quite funny.
Yeah. Okay. I guess he's older now.
Yes, so not, he plays a very
not a
different
teen drama role.
No, right.
So yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think that's pretty much everything. I've been carrying on with the Dan Brown book.
Yes,
I'm about halfway through. Oh, it's so good. Those books, though, you just want to sit there. You pretty much waste a day. I mean, it's a great holiday book. It would be just sit there by the pool. And that's all I want to do. But then I got work and I'm like, fuck you, work. I just want to read this book.
Yep.
Oh, very, very good. And then hopefully Handmaid's Tale next.
Yes.
But last week was really, really good for comics. Just talk about them super quickly.
Sure.
But Marvel, they had Ant-Man and the Wasp issue one. That was really, really good. They had The Immortal Hulk issue one, which, I mean, if you haven't read, I would really, really highly... I know it's The Hulk, so I'm a bit biased, but it was really, really good. Al Ewing is a new writer for it. It's sort of like a horror spin on The Hulk, because he can't die. He comes back from the dead.
Hey.
It's really interesting. It's more like a police one as well. There's a case... Okay. And the Hulk's involved with it.
A bit noir or something.
Yeah, okay. It's quite cool. Yeah, it's pretty good. Pick it up if you can. Also read Doctor Strange. It's got new artist and a new writer, because it used to be one of my favourite Donny Cates. He used to work on it. But it's got a new creative team. So I was a bit hesitant, because I really liked Donny Cates on the book. But this was really, really good. It was the whole way through it was narrated, which was a bit strange. And Doctor Strange is basically losing his magical powers. So it was him teaming up with Iron Man to try and figure out a way of getting his magical powers back, and he's gone to another planet. And it's really, really interesting. And I read something else, but now I can't remember it, so it mustn't have been that good. they were probably my three picks of the week, because they were really, really good.
Cool.
Onto the review.
I'm sorry.
So Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom roared into cinemas on the 6th of June in the UK.
That's very funny.
It was directed by J.A. Bayona. Bayona?
Okay.
He's previously directed The Orphanage, The Impossible and A Monster Call. Mm.
Interesting.
The film stars Chris Pratt as Owen Grady, Bryce Dallas Howard as Claire Deering, Jeff Goldblum as Ian Malcolm, James Cromwell as Benjamin Lockwood, Ralph Spall?
Yeah. Rafe Spall.
As Eli Mills, BD Wong as Henry Wu, Toby Jones as Gunnar Eversole, Justice Smith as Franklin, and Danielle Pineda as Zia Rodriguez.
Mm.
Mm. And the synopsis is, when the island's dormant volcano begins roaring to life, Owen and Claire mount a campaign to rescue the remaining dinosaurs from this extinction-level event. Ooh. So, Chris, what were your thoughts going into the film?
Okay, well, I enjoyed the last one, and I kind of expected a similar experience, really.
Yes.
What about you?
I did enjoy the last one. Wasn't sure we needed another one, but why not, sort of sure. thing. Yeah. Sure. So I was just kind of going in expecting a little bit of fun, kind of turn your brain off sort of thing with dinosaurs. And I think that's pretty much what we got, right?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So initial thoughts coming out of the cinema.
Yeah, I really liked it. It was a little cheesy, but it was in a good way. I thought it had that kind of nostalgic feel for me.
Okay, yeah.
Felt really kind of old school, and I really liked the cinematography of it and everything that felt old school, and the editing and the effects felt old school to me. So I really liked it because that's something I really enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of. I mean, I know Jurassic Park was 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1993.
But actually, that's like, wow, it's 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, talking about technology, it was 25 years yesterday, so Monday.
Okay.
Which is quite impressive.
Yeah.
Good anniversary.
I really enjoyed it. It felt quite long. Actually, I was quite surprised to look at the time. It was only 2 hours and 8 minutes because I've
That's
like
still
was,
quite a long time.
Yeah, but I felt like it was long. Okay. 2.5 hours or something. I think some of the action sequences probably went on too long.
Yeah, maybe.
Felt like some of the action sequences had acts of their own.
Yeah.
Almost. they probably could have cut down on that. But overall, I really liked it. What about you?
Okay. I loved the first half.
Okay.
I thought the second half was a little bit ridiculous in places, a little bit predictable. And thought it went on for a bit too long. Like you said, some of the action pieces went on a bit too long. Yeah. The dinosaurs were amazing, though. Completely blown away by the visual effects. I mean, even watching Jurassic Park again, back then they were amazing. And now they're just like incredible.
It's really impressive seeing like a 25-year-old film. And
like the animatronics were just
convincing.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah. I love seeing Rexy again. So, you know, the T-Rex from the original films.
Yeah.
I loved now I'm probably going to pronounce this wrong, but Stigimalok, something like that. The dinosaur that kept headbutting stuff. I thought that was fantastic. One of my favourite characters? Dinosaurs? Sure, go for it. Indoraptor was pretty scary, I'll give them that. Mm-hmm. It was a bit terrifying.
True.
It did feel a lot like a blatant homage to the first film, though.
Yes.
I thought it was a bit scared to be its own film. It felt like it kind of had to keep referencing the first film and
For me, I felt like it was just nice references.
Yeah.
I felt like it was doing its own thing. Enough. Yeah.
And it really set up the third film in the franchise at the end, which we'll talk about later, but no spoilers for now. Yeah. It was like a tale of two films for me, though. I feel like the studio possibly intervened because there were obvious, you know, they were on the island and then they were at the auction. Yeah. There was defining sort of...
Yeah, I think for me that was kind of like, that was the story. That's just what they were going for. They were going for the island thing, and then they were back in like the real world. And I got that impression from the trailer as well, so I wasn't surprised. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I just wanted more island.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair, actually. Yeah. I think that's entirely fair.
Okay. All right. So. Let's
do some performances, characters. So, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes.
Claire Deering. Pretty much the same character, right?
Well, I don't know. I feel like she had a bit more depth to it.
Okay.
To her in this one. Mm-hmm. I feel like she wasn't running around in high heels, which was good. There was a bit more empowerment for her. She was trying to free things and she was like for the dinosaur rights and stuff. So there was a bit more to her in this, I felt like. Mm-hmm. I felt like they heard us. They were a bit annoyed that it was a very, very sort of like feminine role. Like she was running around in high heels in the first one and stuff.
I thought someone said she demanded high heels for this film. Is that not a thing that happened?
No, I don't think so.
Someone was on the screen just trying to put my leg there. Yeah, I think I enjoyed her character. We should mention that we went with your friend, and she really hated
She hated this film, like, vocally hated it.
What were her points?
She thought it was, used so many tropes, it was very predictable, she wasn't scared by any of the jumps, that sort of thing, and just, like, she predicted what happens.
I mean, I agree with her, but I think I see that more as that kind of old school kind of charm.
Okay.
Whereas she was seeing it as, like, in a modern movie with...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she thought it went on for too long as well.
Well, that's... We've been
there. Yeah. Anyway, back to characters.
Back to characters. Yeah. Chris Pratt.
Owen Grady.
Yeah.
I just love this character. I love Chris Pratt. And he was Chris Pratt in it. And, yeah.
Okay, Yeah, I really love Chris Pratt. I didn't feel like he was Chris Pratt enough, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, you thought they toned it.
I like him when he has a little bit more... comedy.
Yeah, it's Star-Lord-esque sort of thing.
Yeah, maybe not that much.
Okay.
But yeah, I feel like he is quite toned back, isn't he? And he's quite reserved. I guess that's what the character is, so that's fine. But I like Chris Pratt to be a bit more funny, I think.
Okay, interesting.
I enjoyed it.
I loved him and Blue. I love their relationship. I think that's nice.
Agreed.
Jeff Goldblum.
Ian Malcolm. He wasn't in it enough.
No spoilers there, because I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that he's not in it very much, right?
Maybe we should do spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not in it much, so, which is a bit of a shame.
He was in about two scenes for about, I don't know, total 60 seconds, maybe?
Yes, but he seems like an important person, so he might
be coming back. He might influence things in the third film.
Yes.
Because there's obviously going to be new laws. And yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be.
I mean, it seemed pretty obvious from this film that there was going to be another film, so... Yeah.
So the newbies, we've got Franklin and Zia. What do you think of those guys?
I actually really like them. Again, they were like those kind of caricatures.
They were kind of stereotypical kind of
characters. Yeah.
You had the scaredy cat tech kind of guy, and then the like animal rights kind of
activist,
lady.
Yeah. Quite sassy. But I like that. They had character. And I enjoyed it. I mean, I like a nice caricature.
I loved Franklin's journey throughout this film.
How
he ended up like working for them by accident. That was just so funny. And then at the end of the film, he was like in like scientist garb, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was just being a grunt for them, and he just ended up in that role accidentally. It was just so funny.
That was great. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, enjoyed both of those. Who else?
So we had the villains of the piece. We had Eli, and we had Toby Jones's character.
Yes, I thought Ray Spall was great. He really played that kind of...
twisty moustache villain.
And it's kind of like the corporate interest. It's similar to the first film, wasn't it, where there's this corporate interest trying to get people to the island, make it an attraction.
Yeah.
And he was doing the same, but in reverse, I guess.
Yeah, must be weaponizing dinosaurs.
Yeah.
I was a bit annoyed with Toby Jones' character because we both love him in Detectorist, right?
Yeah,
and he's just so lovely and adorable in that TV show. But in films, I feel like he's being typecast as like the British bad guy. And you're like, no, he's so lovely.
But he does, he plays it well.
He does play it quite well. I suppose. And then we've got the new kid.
Yes, Maisie Lockwood.
I thought she was very irritating.
Really? Oh, yeah. I feel like I liked that she was there. I think she could have had a bigger role or something. Because, again, that feels quite old school to me, is to have like a kid that's kind of running around doing something.
You had the two grandkids, right? From the first film.
Okay. Oh, from the first film.
Oh, yeah, the first film. Jurassic Park, sorry.
I'm getting confused.
I felt like she was there to kind of recreate some of the scenes from the first film. Because do you remember that like iconic shot from the first film, Jurassic Park, when they're in the kitchen and the, what are they called? The, you know, the blue dinosaur species. They're
like the velociraptors.
They're in the kitchen and they're coming round the corner. And it was kind of like recreating that, I feel like. Maybe. They had that weird twist on it, like she was a freaking clown. What was that?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a setup for the next one. Because why would you just throw that in and then leave it? Like,
it was just strange, just bizarre. And then they had this lingering shot on her eye, and I was expecting it to like have a dinosaur eye. I was like, really, what is going on here?
That's funny. I like.
Did you not notice that? It was just like zooming into the eye.
Camera moves like that.
I suppose.
When the main lady was getting out of the helicopter on the island or something, they zoomed in on her on her feet first as she stepped on the ground, and then they panned up to her face.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like one of those old school kind of eye shot. I don't know. It was really cool. I liked the cinematography.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why they did that. To make it more old. I don't know. But yeah, I feel like she could have had a bigger role in like saving the day or something, which she kind of did. But while it was happening, I was thinking, I wish she'd done more in this place. Or
she had a big part in the ending, didn't she? Because she was the one who decided to either to let them die or set them free.
Right.
So I guess that was her role in it. Because she was a clown, she was like, well, they're kind of like me. Do I free them or not?
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think that's why
she
was there.
So you think that's why she decided? I thought it was just like her compassion generally, maybe.
Well, I liked her up until a certain like place. And then she just seemed like this annoying child that needed saving.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I wish she'd done the saving. I wish freed them from the cage rather than them having to do this convoluted thing. Getting this
that dinosaur was quite funny though.
It was funny, but I did think that was a little convoluted. Okay. I would have preferred it if the kid had come through and like found a key and like saved them. And there would have been a nice like human moment and would have added some... Maybe they could have bonded over that a little bit more. I feel like some of that was missing.
I will say I prefer the dinosaurs in this film to the humans.
Yeah.
I don't know if you felt the same way.
Well, I enjoyed a lot of the human characters, to be fair.
Okay. Yeah. Story?
We haven't mentioned all the characters yet.
Who else is there?
B.D. Wong was Dr. Henry
Yes, he was back, wasn't he?
Because he was in the first film.
He was.
The original. The original Doctor. Not the Jurassic World.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
He spliced the DNA with the frog.
I enjoyed him. It was good. Who else do we have?
We've got to mention he's fantastic in Mr. Robot.
Oh yeah, we enjoyed him.
We had the babe guy, the babe actor, James Cromwell as Benjamin Lockwood.
Yeah, I liked him. I don't think he had a really big role in it, did he?
No, it was a shame he wasn't in it for longer.
Yeah. Who was the bad guy on the island? He was like a main grunt kind of guy.
Oh, yeah. What was his name?
I really enjoyed his character as well.
He was again like the guy from Jurassic Park, wasn't he? The guy who was the hunter, who was like the ranger and stuff. Mm.
But he just played the bad guy really well. Like you were convinced that he was.
Yeah, you wanted to hit him. Yeah. I mean, I think when he got chewed to bits, we were kind of a little bit like,
yeah.
He kind of had that coming sort of thing.
Oh, is that everyone?
I'm pretty sure that's everyone.
Yeah, we'll say that's everyone. Okay, story. Okay.
Yes.
So let's start at the start, shall we? When it opened. And they're in the little submarine and they're going to the island.
That was good.
And I really like that.
And that was a good opening.
The big gates under the water and everything. I was just thinking, wow, I really want like an underwater Jurassic Park film.
Oh, no, I couldn't deal with that. That would be so creepy.
It would be super creepy, but it would be like really cool, I think. And
yeah.
I love the idea of the gates. I think they could have had like Jurassic Park written on the gates or something.
Yeah.
That would have been quite nice. Like they have on the above ground ones. And then when they're on the island, it's like in the darkness and there's wind and there's rain and it just felt really old school.
And then they're getting chased. Things are lurking in the dark and there's shadows things.
Yeah, really,
and then they have to run away and jump on the helicopter thing and
exactly.
And then they think they're free, but then they're not. That's such a Jurassic Park thing, right?
Yeah.
Just that giant bees thing from the sea. When it just like snaps.
Because we saw that in Jurassic World, didn't we, I think?
I think so. But now that it's free and roaming. Ooh.
There's a whole thing about how they expected everything to be dead or something. Didn't they? They only programmed...
Yeah, that's true.
Oh no, that was in the original film. I'm getting them confused now. In the original film, they only made female dinosaurs, didn't they? But somehow...
Well, because they spliced the DNA with frogs.
And frogs can spontaneously
change their sex. Yep.
But it wasn't the other way around or something. So from male to female or something. I don't know. Anyway, that's kind of interesting. I don't know why I mentioned that because it's obviously not even related at this point. So then it went to like the whole race pool thing and you're introduced to him and he's trying to get people back to help him out with his enterprise, which isn't what it seems.
They're trying to save the dinosaurs from the volcano and set up a sanctuary on another island, right? That's the kind of spin.
Because
basically, this volcano will pretty much destroy everything in the island, right?
The island will be destroyed and everything will die.
Yeah. And then there was this huge court case about the actual ethics of the dinosaurs and whether they had rights and whether we should save them or not, which I thought was the most interesting part of the film.
Yeah, I think
that's interesting. Because there was this ethical dilemma.
What would you have done?
I don't know. It's a really tricky one, isn't it? I don't think you'll ever know until you're actually in that instance.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I guess if you take another approach and say, like, the Galapagos Islands was going to explode, what would you do?
Well, clearly you'd save them.
I think you'd, yeah. But you wouldn't be able to save everything, probably. But
I think you probably
would. You do the same with dinosaurs then? Because
no, dinosaurs are different.
That you've recreated them. Yeah. They had their chance, kind of. I mean, it's not nice to let them die, but at the same time.
But the thing is, what else can you do with them? I mean, fair enough for the herbivores, but the carnivores, whoa.
And if you put them on another island, you're just going to destroy all the life on that island. You're just going to destroy
the ecosystem on that island. So, yeah, and
if you're just saving a few to put in zoos, maybe.
But still, what kind of life is that for an animal?
Exactly. So I kind of feel like just leave it.
Yeah. You know? Oh, just let nature take its... But they're in the first place, they shouldn't have done it. That's my view.
Yeah.
Like, on an ethical point of view, they shouldn't have brought back these animals. They weren't asked to be born again and... Be put through
that. And just be kept in an amusement park.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I agree.
Ethical debate.
I think that's interesting. I think it's really interesting. So we're on the island now.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm really liking the two side characters that they brought along. They're quite fun.
Oh, okay.
And it doesn't take long for things to just kind of fall apart. And
to go south. No.
What did you think about the bit where the guy was in the room and then the dinosaur was like walking around?
That was really good. I really enjoyed that bit.
Yeah. I
liked
that. But there was one of the moments where it was a bit cheesy and kind of old school. It was like looking where over their shoulders.
He was going up the ladder and then the ladder fell down and they were chomping at their legs. And
but I felt that. Did you feel that? Like when he's climbing up the ladder and the dinosaurs. I felt like that was good.
I was like, oh, come on, tension.
Good cinematography,
and,
good editing, because I did feel that. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the whole bit where the volcano was exploding, all the dinosaurs were running, they were trying to escape. That was the best action sequence of the whole film. I thought that was phenomenal.
Well, that was good. I did think that went on too long, though.
No, I really enjoyed it. I wanted more of the island.
Yeah, I wanted more of the island, but I did think just that action sequence is like, okay, dinosaurs are running past him. Yeah. And then more dinosaurs running past him, and then one more. And he's not getting in the thing, and the thing's not rolling. It's like, maybe you should get on.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah, what are you waiting for? And then so they finally starts to roll, and then he's not in there. Like, he could have maybe got in. And then the thing rolls off the end, and then he dives into the water, and then they're struggling around, and then he comes in. And it took a long time to kind of get to the point, didn't it, really? I think I know what they were doing, but I think they could have compressed it down a little bit. Yeah, anyway.
Like this recap of the story.
Sorry. Okay, so they're leaving the island.
Yes, in a very, very traumatic scene where I had a little bit of tears coming down my face.
I liked where they got in the vehicle and they jumped onto the ship and everything. That was cool. But yeah, when they're leaving... And you see that, like the Brachiosaur or whatever, and it's up on its hind legs.
Like from Jurassic Park. That was super emotional. Everyone else, like the humans, if they died and stuff, I didn't really care that much. But when it was the dinosaur, I was like, no, screw you humans. You horrible people.
I am the same. I don't know why that is.
Oh, it's very odd. Yeah, especially dogs.
Yeah, I think because humans have a choice. Like they chose to be there.
Yeah, whereas the dinosaurs didn't really. Yeah. No. Anyway.
Yeah.
And then it's the second half of the film. This is where, like, this was the real divide for me.
Yeah, you're right. There is a definite tonal divide between the two kind of halves, for sure.
Yes. And then we had the auction scene, and then that was pretty much the end of the film, right?
Pretty much, I mean, the auction bit and then them running around.
Well, you knew it was going to go wrong, right? Yeah. Once you have cage hunters and things, you know it's going to go... Especially when you have so many baddies in one room. You're like, they can't escape, right?
Yes, definitely. I mean, you saw quite a lot of that coming, didn't you, really? And again, it was quite a lot of running around and running away from dinosaurs. I don't know if they needed all of it.
There was one scene where Chelsea did pick up on that. I picked up on the same scene. There were these bad guys who were hiding behind walls in a lift. And Toby Jones' character came into the lift. They thought they were safe. The doors opened again.
Yeah.
He pushed her in front of the dinosaur. She was fine. And then she saw it. She was like, ah! And I'm like, you've already seen this dinosaur. Why are you screaming now, you stupid female? It's like they give females screamy things in horror, don't they? It's just a bit irritating.
That is true. But yeah. I felt old school to me. So I felt like that.
Okay, should we talk about the ending? Because it's going on for a long time.
Okay, yes. So the end was a surprise to me. I didn't see that coming.
No, I didn't either, actually.
Because I just assumed, right, well, this is the bit where they just neatly clean it up. And I didn't realise they were going big.
No.
And they did go big. On the end.
Big and bold.
What did you think?
So yeah, you had that moral dilemma right at the end, like would you push the button? So all these dinosaurs were gonna get like poisoned by the toxic gas. Yes. And then it basically it fell to the main character's choice whether to let them free, but then they're gonna be wild in the world.
Right, it's one of those moral decisions, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you let the angry creatures die?
Yes.
And potentially save the world?
Yeah.
Or do you let them live, be the nice person, but potentially destroy the world?
Yes.
So yeah, it's a difficult one, but
what would you do in that instance?
I wouldn't like it, but I would probably let them die. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they didn't, I know it's not their fault that they're there or anything, but we made that mess, we kind of have to clear it up now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So probably would have let them die. It's a sad thing.
Yeah.
But if you just let them out into the ecosystem, that's just a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. It's like that. I did ethics, in ethics about animal rights and like experimenting on animals and things. And there's this really, really interesting debate when you look at mink. Have you heard about mink? So
maybe.
They're farmed for their fur.
Okay.
And they basically had a load of fur farms in England, and a lot of the animal rights activists like set them free. But now they've screwed up the ecosystem for water voles, and water vole population has dramatically like just turned.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I know it wasn't mink's fault because they're just doing what minks are supposed to do, but they've ruined like another species. So on like in that respect, I would just walk away.
You can't just think about the decision that you're making,
the immediate
impact of it. There's going to be knock-on consequences.
Exactly.
And you have to consider that. Yeah.
That's dark though. So guys, what would you do? Because it's a difficult one, and I can see why they did what they did. But why would you let a child make a decision in that? Because they were going to leave it. They walked away. And then the clown lady was like, oh, they're like me. And then press the button. Now everyone's screwed because there's dinosaurs on the loose. And
everyone else
and
was just like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Someone made the decision. Generally, I kind of think, you know, a hands-off approach is probably the best choice, really, in these situations.
Yeah.
Just kind of let nature take its course. But I don't like when we intervene and cause trouble. So I think that's where we should kind of be regulating ourselves on how we interact with these things.
Yeah. I was with Jeff Goldblum. He was like preaching in that thing, and I was like, you should all listen to this guy.
Do you think he's going to have a big role in the next one?
I hope so.
Yeah. I kind of hope so, because he seems like a big wig. Mm. You know, it seems like he's important. They're talking to him about the stuff. So
Yeah.
Anyway, cool. Cinematography, visual special effects, stuff like that.
We pretty much talked about that. The dinosaurs were phenomenal.
Yep.
I mean, like when the creepy dinosaur with the talons and
the tapping
and cool. It was just so well done. I loved, as I said, loved the disaster action piece on the island, the volcano explosions. It was great to see the island back again. I mean, I think it's in Hawaii. I think you can visit the actual field that they film the stuff on. And then just go do 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 do. And the Lockwood Estate was very creepy and old and very British, and I liked the kind of horror angle on that. That was pretty cool.
Had a bit of a like Lara Croft kind of vibe, Lovecraft Manor or something, and the way they were kind of crawling around the outside of the building kind of reminded me of like one of those action kind of games, which I really enjoyed. Nostalgia inducing, some nice sets, and cinematography and editing really felt old school and stuff. I liked it. Soundtrack?
It was Michael Giacchino. Obviously, it was John Williams, right? The original score.
Right.
I don't feel like they interweaved it enough, though, the original, did they?
I noticed there were a couple of moments.
Yeah, there were a couple of themes.
Usually it's quite obvious, and it's like, oh, okay.
It's normally when Rexy kills something roars, and it's like, do, 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 and then everything's falling apart.
Sure.
But didn't quite get that moment, I don't feel like. Yeah, I mean, there was a moment, but maybe lacking.
I think it seemed good. It was all right.
Also, there was a post-credit scene that we missed that I didn't know anything about. So let us know what it was. I'll Google it later, but still.
Okay, rating.
So rating. This was difficult for me. I said one thumbs up. Chocolate.
I did the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, I really did like it, but I felt like there was just too much action and they could have built up the story and the characters a little bit more.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the feel of the movie and generally liked it. But like that bit at the end where they were, the dinosaur was on the roof and they kept like looking at it and then they were trying to get it to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I was like, could you not have just had that lady come up straight away and shoot it or whatever and just get it over with? Like, I don't know why they need to make it so long.
The suspense. So predictions for the next film, maybe.
Yeah.
So dinosaurs versus humans, right?
Yeah. What the
it's
hell?
It's going to be interesting.
I mean, that's not your typical... I mean, it is your typical film, but usually they're on an island, right?
Yeah.
Whereas this time they're in the real world. Yeah, I don't know how you can... I don't know. It's not going to feel like a Jurassic Park film, I don't think.
Is it going to feel like more like Jurassic World 3, where
it's
I think
feel
they
more
had...
like Transformers or something.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Which would be weird.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure about that, really.
It was kind of interesting to see Blue's journey in this film as well, because she obviously saved the day. But then, like...
Again.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Blue needed that.
But... Okay, but the choice she made, Chris Pratt was like, I can save you, come with me sort of thing. But then she turned around, she saw the cage, and then she kind of decided, I don't want to be caged, and just kind of left. And then you saw her at the end, and it was just kind of interesting to see like them driving, and there was, what are they called? The flying thingamabobbies, just flying past. Flying past. You know, the one that was in Power Rangers.
The pterodactyls.
That's the one.
The one that you spelt with
Pterodactyls.
What did you spell?
That's how I call them, pterodactyls.
Okay.
The P is silent, if you didn't know. Yes. It's going to be interesting, though. I mean, there was a really great shot at the end where it was like lion versus dinosaur. And I was like, ooh, okay, this could be interesting. But I feel like it's going to be like Power Rangers, like Transformers. You're going to have like dinosaurs versus animals and stuff. I don't know where they're going to go.
I don't know. There wasn't that many dinosaurs in this complex.
No, that's
there?
What I was thinking.
Suddenly
there's
loads leaving, but it didn't seem like there were that many at the time.
But the interesting thing was, like in the original, they did say that they made them female so they couldn't breed, but then they started breeding. So I think this is going to be the future of Jurassic
Right, but
world,
you'd have to act quickly, wouldn't you? You know they've escaped, so then
you
send in SWAT straight away, don't you? You deal with the issue right now. You don't wait and let them procreate. You know what I mean?
But then again, you've got the dinosaur activists. They're going to be campaigning for them.
Interesting. Okay, there could be some good dynamics in it. We'll see.
So let us know what you thought.
Yeah.
This week we're joined by David Mazouz from
Gotham.
Yes.
Ooh.
So he plays the young Bruce Wayne, and we had the chance to interview him at Heroes and Villains FanFest. So thanks everyone at Heroes and Villains. Great team there. So thank you for the opportunity. He obviously does talk about the season finale for season 4, so there will be spoilers. So if you haven't seen it yet, do watch it. It was actually, the last two episodes were really, really good. And I think it might be becoming what it wants to be in the next series. So yes, look out for that one, and I really hope you enjoy.
Cool.
Right, so welcome to Bee. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm good. I'm good.
How is London?
I love it here. Yeah. London, it's a really cool city. I mean, I've never really spent a ton of time here. Longest I've ever spent here is like a week, but it's a really, really cool city. I love how it really feels like an international community.
Yeah. Has someone showed you around anywhere?
Or? Not really. I've never had time to travel that much here, or to go around that much, especially with Sean. But I think I'm actually going to do something with him tonight.
Oh, nice.
So maybe he'll show me something tonight. Yeah.
So I just got to say congratulations on the renewal. I bet that's a
thank you.
Of a sigh of relief.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was just going to say, I mean, so much fan support with the hashtag Save Gotham. And
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, amazing two part finale.
How was that to shoot? Because there was some like really intense things
for season four. It was good. It was really intense. Yeah, the last like three episodes of that season kind of created this crazy arc that was probably, if not my favorite, one of my favorites of the entire show. And it revealed a lot about Bruce, and I'm really excited for what it, you know, the whole No Man's Land thing that it set up, because I think that's going to be very, very important. I mean, I it's going to be probably with the last season. I don't know anything about the last season. I haven't got any scripts yet, but I think that's what the last season is going to be about. And the last season, obviously, will have to bring all of our characters to the final points that they've been climbing towards since the start of the show. So it's definitely going to be a transformative experience for everybody. I'm really excited to see how that plays out.
Definitely. I mean, you've adapted like Killing Joke in the series as well.
Yeah, that was really cool, because that's my favorite. That's my favorite. Sorry, my brain is kind of fried. That's my favorite comic book ever.
Okay.
By far, and when I got that script, there's so many Killing Joke kind of adaptations for Gotham. I mean, you had not only Bruce kind of getting tortured psychologically, Commissioner Gordon style from Killing Joke, but also you have Selina being shot in the stomach,
wow,
you know, Barbara Gordon style in the same episode. So it's really cool
that
we were able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, how was it filming with Sean? You know, when he was doing the whole Joker smile and thing,
that was
really
intense. It was really intense. It was good though. I mean, I love working with Sean, and I love doing fight scenes, especially with Sean. And that was a really great day.
Yeah.
And we had a really good director, Rob Bailey, one of our best directors on the show. And it was a really, really great, great day, great scene, great episode.
Yeah. We've had the Gotham executive, John Stevens. He said that the fifth series, he might adapt the Zero Year comic book.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, so you're really excited about that.
Yeah, I love Zero Year. The thing I love about Zero Year, which is so easily adaptable to Gotham, because Gotham kind of already is told in that kind of storytelling, where it's the same big event. You know, you have Riddler shutting down electricity in Gotham for, I forget if it's a night or a couple nights, you know? Like, it's, yeah, but there's a big catastrophic event that happens in Gotham, and then you have all these kind of different sub-stories for what each character is doing at this time. And I think that's really cool, and I think that's something that Gotham does a lot anyway. And so kind of adapting that to Gotham, and using our characters to, you know, kind of have this catastrophic event, which in our case will be No Man's Land. See, that's one of the great things that the Gotham writers do, is they take these stories from the comics and integrate them into what will fit with Gotham, which I think is so cool. And like, they take different parts and really make it work. I love it. I love, you know, seeing how they're going to do that. I think it's brilliant.
And apparently Gordon's going to get his moustache.
Yes.
Why is everyone so obsessed with moustache?
Well, I mean, it's iconic.
It's iconic, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's just like the monocle for Penguin or the cape for Bruce, you know? It's just I think it's a signal to him being Commissioner, him being the man that we've seen in him since, you know, we saw him be a rookie detective. I'm really excited for all of that to happen. I mean, I think, I don't, like I said, I don't know anything for sure, but I think that season five, because they've announced that it's the last season, the writers will kind of have to finally bring all of our characters to be the complete versions, our comic book kind of counterparts. And I'm really excited to see how they're going to do that, and to do that myself, yeah.
Yeah. So Stephen and Mal finally said that we're going to get Batwoman crossover in the CW crossover.
Yeah.
Well, who would you fan cast as Batwoman?
Fan cast? Oh my god. That is a tough question. I don't know. I have no idea. That's a really tough question. I all I know is that I'm really excited. I mean, I'm a big fan of Arrow, so I'm really excited that, you know, Batwoman Gotham City is gonna be coming to Starling City. And I can't, when I heard that, I was over the moon. I was really thrilled. But I can't wait to see that happen. I don't know who I'd fan cast. That's always tough as an actor to, like, you know, I'd have to see some audition tapes and, you know, kind of judge from there.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Hot topic. So as she goes on Twitter, in our next episode, we'll be reviewing Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. So for this week's Hot Topics, we'd love to know which film franchise you'd like to see rebooted / continued and your casting for the main roles. So, Chris, yeah. Let's go with you first. What would you pick?
Probably go for things which aren't necessarily film franchises. I'd probably have, like, you know, Stargate. I want Stargate back, man. It's been so long.
There's going to be a film soon, apparently.
Okay, that's cool. What about, also, I'd like Star Trek back, but in a way that is kind of familiar to me, you know, like a next generation type. Yeah, they might be getting there.
Yeah.
What else is there? I haven't really thought about it. Sorry. What about you?
Well, I was thinking more like Indiana Jones, I would definitely cast Chris Pratt as Indiana Jones. He would be fantastic.
I'm down with that.
I mean, seeing him in Magnificent Seven, I thought that was like his like interview sort of like thing for the casting role. But...
interview.
I don't know. But yeah, I just think he would be perfect for the role. And then, I mean, who would you cast? You'd get like Kurt Russell back from Guardians of the Galaxy for his dad. That would be amazing. And then maybe Alicia Vikander is his like side partner kind of thing, like from Lara Croft. I think that would be pretty be pretty good.
Yeah, I would say as well, Chris Pratt, I would really have liked him to have played Solo.
Yeah, I think that would have been
cool. I know he's not, maybe he's not super young and stuff, but I think that would have been, because he's got that the same kind of mannerisms, kind of the same kind of humor and stuff. Anyway, sorry, continue.
And also going like down the James Bond route, I love to see Henry Cavill play James Bond.
Interesting.
Really? Interesting. You watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E., right?
Yeah.
He was phenomenal in that. I mean, he just played spy so well, and I loved him and what's his face, the guy who played the Russian spy. I thought they were fantastic, like going against Armie Hammer. Yeah, well, but we're gonna see him in Mission Impossible soon, and he looks like proper all action in that film. Interesting. I feel like he could have like, I mean, because Bond does have some comedic moments, right? There's a couple of scenes where
I think they've definitely tried to separate themselves from that, haven't they, really?
Yeah, I feel like the new ones are very sort of
much more serious.
Serious and stoic and all about the action and
stuff. Yeah, definitely.
I feel like he could be like the new Sean Connery sort of Bond, maybe.
Yeah, reboot it a bit, like more old school.
Because a little bit. But yeah, I think that would be my kind of picks.
Very nice, very nice.
Yes, but heading to you guys on Twitter, thank you so much for answering. So I am Jack's regular irregular musing, so at I am Jack's musing. I said, maybe the Fantastic Four if audiences aren't already too burned, which will be good because, you know, Marvel and Fox, I mean, sorry, Disney and Fox, hopefully the sale will go through and then we'll get the Fantastic Four in the MCU and it'd be amazing.
I thought that was done. Is that not done?
Well, apparently Comcast have kind of come into the mix
They should have dealt with that quickly, shouldn't they? Yeah. As you can't just really get that many billions together super quickly.
Anyway, he went on to say, my picks would be Oscar Isaac as Mr. Fantastic, the Staff, so Jason Statham, the Staff as the Thing, Yvonne Strahovski as the Invisible Woman, and Dan Stevens, brackets, cast him in everything as the Human Torch. That'd be really good. And then Jason Isaacs as Doom. So, you know, the bad guy in the new Star Trek.
He does bad guy pretty well.
And I just basically said back, love the casting. Jason Statham would be fantastic as a Thing, especially after seeing him in Spy.
He's just so funny in that.
Love that.
But I think you might be right. We are a bit burned from the films we've seen.
We've had two iterations so far of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I think people are going to be like, do I need another? Do I need to sit through another one of these?
I feel like maybe if they had like small cameos, that would be cool. Up until like phase 5 or something, and then they had their own film. Maybe leave it a year or something, I don't know.
Okay. I mean, I think they could do a good job of it. It's just we haven't seen that yet. So it's kind of like,
Ken Major at Ken Major 83. Hello again. I'm struggling to think of something that hasn't been rebooted. That is a good point.
You can reboot a reboot, right?
Is that a thing?
I think we've already talked about that.
Maybe. He said, I really like Clive Cussler's Dirk Pitt novels. Two of the books have previously been adapted, Razor Titanic and Sahara. Start afresh and introduce the character to a whole new audience.
That's interesting. I don't know this.
I like the idea of book adaptations.
Yeah, they tend to go pretty well, don't they?
Yeah, normally.
You know, you already know the book is good. Yeah. It's good subject matter. It's written well already.
Yeah, you got good material. So
it's perfect, really.
Yeah.
Like, cuts out a step. True. You don't have to worry about the writing as much.
So checking the Geeks Talk at Jack Geeks Talk. Hi, guys. They said, it's obvious, but start X-Men again. okay. Mm. Interesting. I quite like the cast for it at the moment.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a huge X-Men fan. So maybe true. A reboot would be good for me. Like, take it down a little bit of a different path.
Maybe. But they've gone for, use the original comic lineup. So you got Bryan Cranston as Professor X.
Okay.
Oh, that could be quite interesting. Armie Hammer as Cyclops. Okay. I could see that, yeah. Amy Adams as Jean Grey, the one from Arrival. Yeah.
Maybe.
Oh, okay. Maybe. Interesting. Joel Edgerton. Edgerton? I'm going to go with that. As Iceman.
Okay.
Andy Serkis as Beast.
That could be interesting.
I think that would be good. Yeah. And Dan Stevens as Angel.
I don't know who that is, but I like Dan
Stevens. The guy with the wings.
Is that the one that everyone takes of himself?
No, not really.
No. Okay. I thought there was one that... I don't know. Never mind. Sorry, continue.
Yes. That was it.
Okay. Good. Thanks, guys.
I love those pigs. I think they're really good. I said back, I was so sick of that film, and then put a gif of everyone standing up and clapping. So X-Geeks at X-Geek said, Resident Evil, full reboot. Ooh. I mean, how many films did we get at that? And they were very mediocre.
I really like the first one.
The first one was great.
But we get a lot of that, don't we?
It went downhill very fast.
It's like Transformers as well. The first one was great. And then they were just rubbish. What else? There must be loads of examples of just
definitely
really lot.
Oh, Underworld.
Yeah,
I don't think I even saw the last one, to be honest.
No,
I
probably haven't seen the last two or three.
But they've gone and picked Henry Cavill as Chris Redfield, Jamie Alexander as Jill Valentine, Alexander Skarsgård as Albert Wesker.
Like that fella.
Yeah, he's good. Cool. Sebastian Stan, yes, as Leon S. Kennedy. Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Claire Redfield, and Rinko Kikuchi as Ada Wong. I'm so sorry if I said that wrong. But yeah, great cast. Some really, really great people in there.
Mm.
So very big thumbs up there. I put the gif back with Snape approves. Clapping, clapping, clapping. And yeah, they said it's definitely a franchise that deserves better.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Nerd Chatting at Nerd Chatting. Hello, idiots.
Hey, idiots.
Hi. Ben said, I think Ben's quite poorly at the moment. I don't know if you've seen. I hope he's better now. He got bit by a horse fly. They're evil things. Ooh. And then it's got infected. And,
oh, no.
Poor Ben. Hope you feel better.
Best wishes, mate. Wishes.
Yeah. So he went with the DC Universe. Ooh. Go to an alternate Earth. Keep Cavill as Supes and Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, but recast the rest. Ooh.
Wow.
That's a bold statement. Get the right creative team on board and make it consistent.
Okay. Ooh, yeah.
What do you think about that?
I'm not sure. I haven't really decided what I think about it. Because I feel like they were trying the right things.
Yeah.
I think it just didn't quite pay off.
It was, again, like Jurassic World, a film of two halves, wasn't it? I mean, you could definitely tell which bits were Joss Whedon and what bits were...
Zack Snyder,
sure. And it was, I feel like they should have just given it time to do it properly, don't rush it, and then, but there's that whole controversy of Ben Affleck not wanting to be Batman anymore.
Yeah, it was just too much sort of drama around it, wasn't there?
Exactly,
really,
and it's like, oh, really? But I feel like Ben Affleck is one of my favourite Batman, so I'm personally quite offended, right?
Interesting. I would probably just give it to Taika Waititi, let him reboot it and see what happens.
Okay.
That could be really interesting, right?
Yeah, I feel like if, I mean...
Someone a bit more out there and a bit creative and interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Right. Sorry for my rubbish suggestion.
Yeah.
Please continue.
I said, but Ezra Miller, ..
Oh, yeah,
I love Ezra Miller as The Flash. Consistency is definitely key, though. As much as I enjoyed Justice League, you could tell how thrown together it seemed with all the reshoots.
Mm.
Definitely need to get Justice League right to get the DCU on track, I think.
I guess Marvel sort of just worked on it and they worked out their formula.
Mm.
And everyone thinks it's a bad thing, but it works. So
they earned the right for the Avengers, right? They had all those solo films built up to this giant film. Whereas Justice League was I feel like they just wanted to get out as fast as they could.
Yeah, maybe.
So anyway, they replied, okay, we can keep Ezra Miller too. In fact, maybe all of the Justice League apart from Bats. If he's not interested, then get them recast and start again in the new universe. Interesting. So Matthew Fisher at CouchPotato_MVP said, I would like to see the Dark Universe get a second chance because these characters are still iconic and timeless figures. However, I would have had Van Helsing be the lead and have the films deal with them, discovering good and bad monsters in their quests. So, I mean, there was this whole huge unveiling about the Dark Universe, right? I mean, they had Tom Cruise's mummy. Then they had... Who else did they have? They had this whole lineup of films that they were planning to make in the Dark Universe. They were going to do Frankenstein, I think. Yeah, they had like, they released this picture of Tom Cruise, Sophia, the lady who played the mummy. And yeah, they were going to do this huge expanded universe. And then the mummy came out and apparently it was awful. And then they all of a sudden went super quiet.
Yeah, I mean, if the first film doesn't really blow everyone's socks off, then it's not going to... It's like, I guess with the whole Marvel thing, started off with Iron Man, didn't it? Which, like, set the tone, really, which I would say.
I think is pretty much one of their best films, right?
Yeah, I would say it's still up there. Yeah, that's what you got to do. If you're going to make it like an anthology of films, you have to make the first one really freaking good.
So. We had Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp. Who was Johnny Depp going to play? Sophia Lady... name. So they're going to have the mummy, Bride of Frankenstein, the Invisible Man, and all the Universal monsters, you know, like from the back in the heyday of like black and white films and stuff. And it just died a death. I really don't know what happened. It's insane. So they wanted to go down the whole MCU's like shared universe, but it just tanked. We didn't even see the mummy because we heard how awful it was.
I mean, I would watch it on Netflix or something.
Okay, would you interesting not? I don't know.
Maybe we should review it on next week's episode. What do you think, maybe, guys?
I feel like we should watch bad films and see how bad they actually are.
We should. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Good suggestion. So Into the Night at ITK Moon Knight said, I'd say a better stab at the Aliens franchise again. Maybe forget the last two films of Prometheus and Covenant. Keep Fassbender and maybe get Sigourney Weaver and Michael Bane like the director of District 9 wanted. Did you hear about that project?
No.
They were going to like reboot it, but it was Neil Blomkamp. So the guy who does like District 9, Chappie. They had all this like concept art and it was going to be Michael Bane and Sigourney Weaver. And it was, it was going to be a different spin on it and stuff.
Something a bit new and like a bit more... Because they were quite indie, weren't they, almost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I definitely those last like that two films,
man. No. They did not enjoy it. I thought, you know, I started to think towards sort of before that last film that we got, that Prometheus might have actually been okay.
Yeah.
Like, they were going to explain some of the things and it would start to make sense. Because when it came out, I was just like, why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? And it just made no sense. You know, it just didn't go anywhere, fell apart, awful. Yeah, so I agree. Yep, let's do that.
Definitely. They also went on to say, would also love to see more Pitch Black / Riddick movies. That's maybe true, recast Riddick. Let's face it, Riddick makes a franchise, not the convoluted world they tried to create in the sequel. But not sure who to cast a younger version. Needs the acting chops and voice of Vin Diesel. Ooh, that's a tricky one, actually.
It's tricky. You don't get many of those kind of action heroes, do you?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Quite rare, I think.
Ooh. That is hard.
You maybe for, like, another wrestler Dave or Bautista. Something. Or... Dave Bautista.
Maybe. So 20th Century Geek _ pod at 20th Century Geek said, a real-time continuation of Gremlins. Interesting. Also, I really want a buddy cop continuation of Roger Rabbit set 30 years after the original in the 80s. How do cartoon characters deal with commercial creations, brackets He-Man and Transformers, and newer versions of themselves?
That could be really interesting, actually, yeah. Because we haven't really had a film like that since, have we?
No.
I don't feel like we have.
That's, like, what, like mixing very... live action with, like, animation and...
Yeah, and having it work quite well.
Yeah, definitely.
It feels like quite a rare thing, because I've already said, like, I don't like that. But in that case, I like it. That's right. Weird. That's weird.
Yeah.
I remember watching that a few times as a kid.
So Marcus at the Marker Guy said, part of me would really like to see Jonah Hex get another shot at the big screen. Yes, his role in Legends of Tomorrow is great, and the first movie wasn't good, but I think we get something great from it. Bring back Brolin, get a good director, and make a good movie.
Okay.
I do like Josh Brolin. Do another one, it'd be pretty good. Also, Men in Black.
Men in Black.
That would be good.
Yes.
I mean, they kind of redid it a little bit.
Redid it?
Well, you had Will Smith and then you had Josh Brolin as like younger version of Tommy Lee Jones' character.
Yeah. I think they could go back. They could do that. Yeah. I really loved the first Men in Black.
Yeah, it was
second
so good.
Second one was garbage, though, wasn't it?
There you go. There's another one that dropped a little bit.
Third one was okay.
Yeah, third one was
the second one had just kind of...
Yeah, I can't even remember the second one. That's how kind of much I remember it. Yeah. So once again, thank you so much for sending in your suggestions. Thanks, really, guys. Really creative. I really enjoyed reading them, actually. And a lot of them I was like, ooh, okay, yeah. I want to see that X-Men one, and I want to see the Fantastic Four one.
Sure.
And I want to see that Aliens reboot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
definitely.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Really hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to give us any feedback on what we should be watching, any recommendations, or if we're doing something wrong, or
if you have a story for us, whatever. If a story to...
Then how do they go about contacting us then, Chris?
We're most active on Twitter.
The royal we.
Nicola is most active on Twitter. /WeHaveAHopePod.
Yep.
And we're also on Facebook and Instagram. Yes. /WeHaveAHopePod. We are on YouTube as well.
Also DLive now.
DLive as well. Check that out. So I think we're going to be doing more videos on DLive.
Yes.
Because you can actually make some cryptocurrency money.
Yes.
So that's interesting. Which is at WeHaveAHulk, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else? Oh, Gmail?
If you want email?
Yes.
Email at Gmail. Yes.
WeHaveAHopePod@gmail.com.
Yes. And if you ever want to read any news or reviews, then go to our website at WeHaveAHulk.co.uk. So next week's episode, there's not much out until Ocean's 8, I believe. So we have got the season finale of Legion, so we could do a series review of Legion. We've also got the Sense 8 finale finally on Netflix. Yes. So two big options coming up, and also Luke Cage coming out soon. So we need to finish that.
Or we could re-watch an old rubbish film.
Yes, that is true. Need to watch The Mummy. So
we should probably watch that anyway.
Let's see if it's on Amazon and how much it is. Sure. If it's like $3.99, fair play. But if it's like $9.99,
£10,000.
No.
I'm not paying more than £4 for this.
Also, we forgot to talk about all the trailers that are out.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of trailers. Yes. Bumblebee looks all right.
Yes.
What else was there?
I love that. Nurse Chatting did a really great review of all the trailers. Listen, so go check out their episodes. Yeah. Probably far better than what we could do.
What did we see? I can't remember.
Well, what did we do? Oh,
I don't think I've seen most of them.
I need to go back and watch most of them. But Into the Spider-Verse was really good.
Okay.
Bumblebee looked interesting.
Looks interesting. We should do some breakdowns.
We haven't done any breakdowns. We do need to do that. People liked that on YouTube.
Yeah, that was our most popular thing, wasn't it, really?
Also, there was Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Breaks the Internet, which is great. Because the Disney princesses that was a great scene. Great. Yeah.
It's really great.
I'm really excited to see them all on screen.
Definitely.
In animation.
Definitely. And we heard that Kingdom Hearts coming out next
year. Yes, there was E3. Wait, we missed all these things. Maybe we could do like a mini pod, but whenever we say we're doing mini pods, they turn into huge podcasts.
That's true. They're basically the same length as the normal ones, so.
Pretty much. But if you haven't checked out the trailers, go and watch trailers, because we need to catch up on some. But they did look very good. Also, First Man, the new Damon Chazelle film, so the guy who did La La Land, obviously Ryan Gosling starring it. But that also came out, so that looks pretty good. Also, the girl with the
dragon. Yes.
And also Halloween. Ooh.
No.
Anyway, sorry, we've been rambling on now. Now we're talking about trailers.
I watched Halloween at a friend's house when I was younger. I don't think I slept for weeks.
I think I watched it in film studies and I wasn't too pleased about it. No. We did I think there was a horror section. Oh, I did not like it that at all.
No, thank you.
Nope.
No, thank you.
Anyway, we have been We Have a Hulk.
We
Nicola
have been
and Chris.
Nicola and Chris from We Have a Hulk.
Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.